Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back, Chunkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Because it works, visit EMP180.com and get empowered. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Auville. Coming up in 20 minutes, Tarik El-Bashir is going to join us. And The Athletic covers the Caps and the Redskins. We'll get back into Caps Canes, preview the NFL draft, which is now less than a week away. But join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. It's our pal Kevin McCarthy, entertainment JP. Reporter for Fox 5. Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, John Paul Flame.
How's life treating you this week?
It's good. We're 6 days away from Eric Bickle's most anticipated film of his entire life.
Which one is
it? Oh, he went to Fandango. He got his tickets like 2 weeks ago.
Which one is it?
This is the 22nd film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, yes. Eric. Avengers Endgame.
Right. Great.
Yeah.
Why do I believe it won't be the end game, though? Why do I believe there'll be a game after the end game?
Well, I mean, the end game is the idea of the ending of this particular phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So if you saw Infinity War, which a lot of people did, I know, Eric, joke about you not being into the superhero movies, but that movie made over $2 billion, that movie alone. This franchise, this whole Marvel Cinematic Universe has made, I think, close to $17 billion. I mean, it's insane how much these movies have made.
And you're such a nerd, Kevin. I saw one of your interviews with, I believe, the two directors.
Oh, yeah.
And you're such a nerd because they threw you off saying that one of the scenes, which you allegedly cried when
you
saw
nerd.
It,
right.
is not in the film. Tell listeners what I'm talking about.
So the Russo brothers, who directed Infinity War, Civil War, Winter Soldier, which is the best film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and now Endgame, they're famous.
Wait a second. You think Winter Soldier is the best film in the entire MCU?
100%. What else would it be, sir?
Really?
What's your number one choice?
I mean, I don't know that I have. I clearly haven't read them. But
now, I've only seen probably 8 or 9 of them. My number one is either Iron Man or Black Panther.
Iron Man 1 is top 5 for sure, JP.
Good.
But I think Winter Soldier hands. See, I rewatched Winter Soldier last night. It's the most grounded film of all of them. You have the bridge fight. You have the elevator scene. I mean, these directors are legendary now in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But, you know, Cakes, I am curious what your favorite MCU film is.
I really don't know that I have a favorite.
Okay.
No,
yeah, I love Ant-Man.
I mean, Ant-Man's funny, but it's not a top seed.
I like the Iron Man movies. Look, I haven't seen all of them. I think I've only seen one. Look, is it Steve Rogers? Is
that it's Captain America. So that's probably, there was the first Avenger, there was Winter Soldier, Civil War, and then obviously he's been in the Avengers film. But to answer your question, JP, these directors, what they do now is they put fake things in trailers to misdirect the audience. So there was a great moment in the Infinity War trailer where the Hulk is running through Wakanda in full Hulk form, and that wasn't in the movie. So what they do is they put these scenes in, whether or not they're going to be altered or not eventually, to throw the audience off. And they're kind of great at doing that because it gets people excited. And the scene you're referring to that I brought up to them was a scene from the trailer where Tony Stark basically looks at Cap and says, "Do you trust me?" And Cap says, "I do." And they shake hands. And it was a big moment because the two characters are being essentially reunited, we think. Because if you watched Infinity War, they're not together at the end of that film. So there's definitely, that scene blew me away because it was just cool to see them. And it was also a very emotional moment. And then right in the middle of my questioning, Joe Russo goes, "That scene's not in the movie." Now, granted, he claims to have been joking with me throughout the rest of the interview. In fact, I believe they made their Instagram profile picture, my interview thumbnail of Anthony Russo's reaction to Joe spoiling that. Now, the question is going to be, is that scene really not in the movie, or is it being altered in some way? We'll see.
Here's a question I have.
Pretty wild.
How long is the next Avengers movie?
This is right up Eric's alley.
Hey, get ready for this, EB.
Eric, you ready, buddy? I mean, this is so perfect for you. The next movie is 3 hours and 58 seconds.
You're kidding.
A 3-hour movie.
That is wacky.
It's gonna, I honestly would take a five-hour Avengers Endgame movie, and I think a lot of fans would. 3 hours, I mean, listen, everyone's freaking out about that. The last one was 2 hours and, like, 37 minutes anyways. This is a movie that requires a lot of time. But if you, I mean, I don't know if you agree, Cakes, because you're, I know you're a big MCU fan. The Infinity War movie was, it felt like it was, like, an hour long. I mean, it goes by super quick, and you're juggling dozens of characters and flawlessly. I mean, these guys are legendary filmmakers, and I'm just so happy that they're involved in this one. I do have a story to tell you guys. I'm going to give you guys a shout out. This is actually kind of cool. Made me feel silly yesterday. Throughout the years, I mean, Cakes, you know I'm a metalhead.
Yeah,
I know you're a metalhead too. I don't know if you get as hardcore as Hatebreed, but Hatebreed was a band that I found when I was like 14 or so. I saw them at a random concert at Bay Days in Hampton, Virginia. Anyway, so the lead singer, Jamie Josta, he, you know, throughout the years, I started following him on social media, and we started connecting over movies. And he reached out to me a couple weeks ago and goes, "Hey, I'm coming to town on our 25th anniversary tour. I'd love for you to come by the venue and do a podcast with me to talk about movies." So I get there. We're doing the podcast. It's like a full circle moment for me because I grew up listening to this band, and now I'm like sitting down being interviewed by the lead singer.
Right.
I think he used to host Headbangers Ball. I mean, he's big, big silly in the metal world.
Mm-hmm.
So after the interview, we go upstairs, and they're doing a meet and greet. I'm getting ready to leave, and all their fans come in. And, like, at least two of their fans saw me and came over and recognized me from the Junkies. And I remember, like, it was surreal, like, watching them get an autograph from Jamie and then look at me and go, "Oh, it's Kevin from the Junkies," and then come over to me and, like, seeing Jamie react to that. It was just, like, kind of a very surreal full circle moment. So it was just one of those things.
Movies and metal.
Yeah.
It was just, like,
it was crazy. It was just crazy to see that. I mean, I met him 20-something years ago as a fan, and then to be there in that room because of you guys and how you guys got me started in my career, and then have that full circle moment where someone says hi to him and then comes over and says hi to me right in front of him, it was just wild. So thank you guys.
Nice. Sounds like an anecdote for a book, which you're never going to write.
Yeah, I know. I needed to get on that. But that it was a very cool moment. So thank you guys for giving me this life.
That makes you feel bottled, and Hatebreed has been around for 25 years.
We've trained Kevin well, haven't we?
Dude, Hatebreed's been around since 96, I think. I mean, they've been around for a long time. I mean, this guy, they've toured with everybody. They were on Ozfest, Cakes. You probably have maybe even seen them at a concert at some point. Like, they've been on a bunch of...
I think they've got a blind spot for them.
Tours. They've been on Warped Tours. Well,
EB was really excited about the Game of Thrones premiere.
I know.
He didn't really like it.
Wait, are you guys joking, or are you being serious?
I'm being serious.
Oh, so, Eric, you watch Game of Thrones?
I did not.
Oh, okay. I did not.
You got set up there.
I know. Well, what's funny is I figured it was a setup, like the joke we do with him about science fiction, but I thought maybe he watched Game of Thrones because there's a ton of, like, nudity in the show.
No.
That's what I figured. Wait, so who watches it on the show? Cakes, you watch it?
No.
JP?
Valdez watches it.
Vippy.
Oh, my God. Is Valdez there today?
Yes, he's there.
Yeah, I'm here.
I want him to chime in because I thought the episode one was just okay. I didn't find it to be mind-blowing, but I think a lot of Game of Thrones fans will agree that when you watch Game of Thrones, a season normally has two or three mind-blowing episodes, and the rest of them are kind of chess pieces that are moving into what that episode's going to be. But, you know, I had just been 67 hours of Game of Thrones prior to watching this episode in over a month. Dude, it was 70 hours of television, and I'm so happy I did it because this is historic what this show has done in regards to building characters. And
let me guess, Kevin, you probably had 1,000 Taco Bell bags.
You can't have kids with the schedule that you
ignore
did.
Them, yeah.
It's impossible.
You don't want to have kids, do you, Kev?
I mean, I want to have kids eventually, but my wife and I have agreed that we want to wait a couple years. I think a lot of people, there's two thoughts that people have, I guess, when they get married and have kids. You can have them right away, which is totally fine. My parents did. And then you kind of, on the latter part of your life, your kids are older, and then it's a different story. Or you can have them a little bit later, and, you know, it's a different situation because you get a little bit of more time together as a married couple prior to bringing
kids in. So let me ask you a question.
But I get both sides.
Is your wife on birth control, or you just never have sex?
No, We use birth control. Yeah, like that is the we have to, because I don't want we're not ready.
Yeah,
we're not ready. No, we're not. We're just not ready to have kids yet. I mean, that is
right.
One thing I will say though, and
I
don't
get deeper. You don't have to get deeper, dude. You said you watched 67 hours of TV.
Yeah, I watched 67 hours.
You're not gonna have time for kids ever, Kev.
But I will say this though. I mean, like I don't mind you guys asking me, but people. That is the weirdest question when someone randomly asks you why or when you're having kids. Not you guys, but just people who are
right.
Strangers.
I know, it's uncomfortable.
Well, they're not strangers because you put it out there. You put pictures of you and your wife out there all the time.
I know, but pregnancy to me is a bit of an iffy topic. Because what if you can't have kids? What if you know what I mean?
Like,
you know,
of course,
you never know what.
Plus, you guys do way too much cosplay to have time to actually procreate and have kids.
Wait, Valdez, what did you think of episode one? Did you think it was just okay? I thought it was mediocre.
We had Danny come in, and Danny said it was a setup episode.
I mean,
so he was perfectly fine with it.
Yeah, the dragons flying around was nuts.
Oh, that was a bad bit.
You know who did that scene right? Was George Lucas.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about in, what are you referring to?
I don't know if he didn't like direct it, but like he added that scene in there somehow. I was reading about it.
One of the things about the story. for people who are not following Game of Thrones, there's basically a sequence in the show where Jon Snow and Daenerys fly on these dragons together. I mean, it's right up Eric's alley.
And they're looking lovingly at each other while they're flying dragons. It's nuts. I wanted a season full of battles, and I didn't get that.
Well, apparently episode 3 is going to be a gigantic battle episode. From what I've heard, the entire episode of episode 3 is a battle. Very similar to kind of what they did with Battle of the Bastards and not Hardhome, but there was Hardhome is my favorite Game of Thrones episode on that whole show. It's amazing. And listen, I know the guys.
Yeah, man, we got to run. Did you actually see a movie that people can check out?
Yeah, real fast. La Llorona, it's a new horror film. This is the Conjuring franchise. By the way, Cakes, I know you're a horror fan. I'm shocked.
I'm kind of out on horror. I'll be honest.
But you used to be.
I used to be a big horror mark, but I can't remember the last time I went to a theater and saw a horror flick.
What, is there going
to
be like a Firm or anything?
Oh, I'm sorry. I saw a horror flick. It was called Caps Kane's Game 3. That was the most recent one I saw.
Do we have any like mob movies or courtroom dramas or anything?
I mean, yeah, Eric. Scorsese's new movie's coming out later this year. It's going to be
talking about it forever. The Irishman.
It's the Irishman.
You don't even know what a Tommy gun is, and you want a mob movie.
I like a mob movie.
Silly. All right,
like
real quick.
Just give us
the rating. We got to go. We got a guest coming up.
The Curse of La Llorona is a 3 out of 5. The Conjuring. This is in the Conjuring universe. It takes place.
The Curse of La Llorona gets three. Not interested.
Silly. All right, 3 out of 5. I love you guys. JP, Papa Squeezy, Papa, JP.
Coming up next, we'll get back to Caps Canes, talk a little Redskins, what they're planning to do for the upcoming NFL draft. Tarik El Bashir from The Athletic joins us on The Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotlines. Our pal Tarik El Bashir covers the Caps and the Redskins for The Athletic. Hey, Tarik.
Morning, boys.
Tarik, you know, before this series started, I kind of looked at the Hurricanes and said, no history there playoff-wise. Not a team that the Caps have any sort of real rivalry with. How am I going to build up any sort of animosity for this team that's kind of been, you know, under the radar for the last 20-some years? But I've built up a lather through the first 4 games with the fight between Ovi and Svechnikov, Brindamore's callous comments post-game last night, Fogle running Oshie into the boards. There's a bit of lather built up through the first 4 games, and the rivalry has been ignited here.
No doubt, and that's working out in the Canes' favor. And you're right. I mean, there was no history here. I mean, the Capitals probably went into this series thinking we're better at every single position than the Canes, and they are. They're more experienced at every single position than the Canes. And they simply haven't brought their best game for 60 minutes yet. I mean, I would argue that the Capitals were fortunate to go up 2-0 and are right now fortunate for the series to be tied 2-2. The Canes have done a really good job of, you know, adding some subplots to this series and some distractions. And, I would say the hate is certainly starting to build here, but it's not a series until someone gets a win on the road. So we'll see. We'll see. But the Capitals have to get themselves together.
What did you think about the hit on Oshie? Did you think it deserved a five-minute major? Did you think the two-minute call was correct? What did you think about that?
Yeah, I was surprised it was only a two-minute call. I mean, you're taught from the first year of Pee Wee when you start hitting that when you see an opponent's numbers, both numbers, and you're in proximity to the boards, you aren't allowed to engage that player in a way that's going to send him head first or shoulder first into the boards. And Fogle had been riding Oshie for probably 15, 20 feet there, and it wasn't the hardest hit, but he extended both arms. It just wasn't a vicious cross check. I don't think there was any malicious intent there, but there certainly was a very bad result for Oshie. So I wouldn't call it a dirty play, but it was a dangerous play, and I was surprised it was only 2 minutes, particularly after the referees got to see what happened to Oshie. I mean, sometimes when they see the injury and the player gets up and he can't move his arm or shoulder, there's a little conference there and it becomes a major. I didn't like it. I thought it was dangerous. And, you know, unfortunately for Oshie, I mean, and for the Capitals, you know, he's going to be done for a while, and they need offense. They need to find a way to get the puck behind Peter Mrazek. And losing Oshie is going to hurt them short-term. And long-term, I mean, he's 32 years old. He plays a hard game. I'm talking about Oshie here. And, you know, the more of these injuries that he accumulates, you know, it's starting to get a little concerning.
Yeah, I'd say so. Why are we where we are right here? You know, after beating him, 4-0 in the regular season? Granted, one of those was an overtime game. I think another was a one-goal game. But why are we here now? You say we're better, we're more talented. I believe you. It seems to me, as an uneducated observer, that obviously we're sort of we're sloppy with our clears. Our power plays leave a lot to be desired. But beyond that, what are they doing to have us in this spot right now?
Yeah, there are a couple of things that really kind of jump off the page to me. I mean, they work hard. And, you know, when you look at the way they pursue the puck in all three zones, they're dogged. They don't give you a second of space or a moment to catch your thoughts and make a play. They are all over you. Rod Brind'Amour has really done a good job of making sure that everyone's work ethic is at 100% every single night. The one thing that's also really jumped out to me is they are really voracious on the forecheck. It seems like every time the Capitals gain control of the puck in their own end and they're looking to break it out, there's two guys, sometimes three guys on them, and they struggle to get those clean zone exits, and the cumulative effect of that is you get tired. I mean, if you're in your own zone trying to get out left, right, you still can't get it out, and it's been 30, 40 seconds, now you're going to the line, you're going to the bench for a line change, and then it's kind of dump, you know, and repeat. And it happens all over again. And, you know, that kind of gets back to that work ethic. And, you know, there's ways to get around that X's and O's wise. I'm not saying the Capitals aren't working hard. I would just say right now the Hurricanes are out scheming them. And there's some tweaks that the coaches are going to have to make for the Capitals to do a better job of getting the puck out of their own end, because they're at their best when they're in the other team's end creating or you know, carrying the puck through the neutral zone with speed. When they're in their own end for, you know, 30, 40, 50 seconds on end on just trying to get the puck out, that's when bad things happen.
Now, Ovi, after the game, talked about needing a sense of urgency. One would guess that when you get back home, it's 2-2, you're going to see some more energy out of this Caps team.
You know, I still don't think energy is the problem here. It's more execution, in my opinion. I mean, right now you look at the offense for this team, I mean, right now, there's guys in the league in these playoffs who are in double-digit points already. You look at what the Capitals have. Nicholas Backstrom and Alex Ovechkin are tied with 4 points, just 4 points in four games. That's all the way down in, like, 30th place. You're getting absolutely nothing offensively from your bottom two lines. I think Lars Eller has a couple of points. And after that, I mean, it's
an empty netter. He's an empty netter.
Yeah, an empty netter. And, you know, you know, I want to throw this out there. I don't know if the Capitals still have Devontae Smith-Pelly's phone number, but, you know, maybe you want to call a brother and say, what's up? How you doing? Maybe you want to come down to Washington and maybe suit up for a game? I mean, he lives for these kind of moments. But, you know, maybe you want to call a brother and say, what's up? How you doing? Maybe you want to come down to Washington and maybe suit up for a game? I mean, he lives for these kind of moments. And, I mean, you're getting absolutely nothing from your third and fourth lines. I don't want to say you're getting outplayed in goal either, but the numbers are certainly tilted toward Mrazek. He's got a .919 save percentage. Hope he is, you know, down towards the bottom of all the goaltenders in the playoffs with a .905. Now, some of that is his defense core. I mean, it was a complete circus, those two goals Carolina scored last night. On the first goal, 17 seconds of the game, you know, Matt Niskanen pinches. It's going the other way, 100 miles an hour to goal. That goal at the end of the second period, who knows what Brooks Orpik was doing. He got spun around, and Teravainen had a clean shot at the net from point-blank range. So hopefully he's not getting a whole lot of help, but he could be better as well. So, I mean, getting out of that little cauldron down there, it's a small building. The fans are right on top of you. These folks are fired up. They've been waiting for the playoffs for 10 years. Maybe getting back home will help the Capitals steady some things, but I'm not ready to hit the panic button, but I'm certainly looking for it.
You know, you bring up Smith-Pelly, and that's exactly what I wanted to ask you about. What are their options? Smith-Pelly, to me, seems to be a no-brainer with all of his postseason success. Let's plug him in, see what he's got. But what are their other options for replacing Oshie at this point?
Not great. Not great, Bob. I mean, you're losing a top-line guy. He was the top line last night. I mean, he's a top-six forward who not only, you know, can deliver goals and assists, and he works hard in all three zones, and he's the heart and soul of this team. I mean, you guys have seen the videos on NBC Sports Washington where, you know, he's in the tunnel before the game, you know, between periods, getting the boys fired up. That's important. I mean, that's part of the reason they re-signed him. You know, those heart and soul guys that kind of wear their emotion on their sleeve, you know, they're kind of few and far between in the NHL where, you know, it's kind of a buttoned-up, you know, staid kind of league. And when you get a guy like Oshie, you know, you want to hang on to him. And when you lose a guy like him, you know, you're losing more than just the on-ice production, man. You're losing leadership, and you're losing a fire plug, a guy who just gets everyone else. You know, as Barry Trotz used to say, he's the kind of guy who just drags everyone else into the fight. On nights when it looks like a couple guys are like, eh, he drags everyone in. And it's a big loss. It's a big loss losing Oshie. I don't know how they're going to replace him because they don't have another player of that sort.
Joined by Tarik El-Bashir from The Athletic, covers the Caps and the Redskins. So we're less than a week away from the draft. If you had to guess, and this, look, there's a lot of things that can happen. If you had to guess with the 15th pick, who are the Redskins going to select?
That's a great, great question. I would say it's all going to depend on what happens at number one. If Arizona does go ahead and draft Kyler Murray, and then all of a sudden Josh Rosen is on the market, the Redskins have to do everything in their power to get Rosen, even if it means giving up the 15th pick. If it is possible to not give up the 15th pick and put together another string of picks, you know, later in the draft, second round, or throw in something else to get Rosen, because that's simply going to be an untenable situation if Arizona does take Kyler Murray. You'll be able to pry Rosen away from that team. If you're able to get him for a second rounder, and you can still use that 15th overall to address another need, because Lord knows the Redskins have a lot of needs, that'd be an ideal situation. You get a quarterback and you can draft an edge rusher. So I think it all depends on what happens at number one. If Murray is not the selection, if Rosen is not, you know, made available right then and there, then I think the Redskins are probably going to need to take a quarterback. They're probably going to need to take a quarterback. I know they have other needs, but nothing is more important in today's NFL than having a signal caller, even if it's a guy that you draft and you develop him over a number of years. I mean, Jay Gruden has said on two occasions that Drew Lock is the most NFL-ready player. He's a guy who can come in and compete right away for a starting job. So,
But is Jay going to want to mess around with a young quarterback when he's fighting for his job at this point?
Well, I guess the question then is, who's making the ultimate decision? Is Jay making the ultimate decision on that number 15th overall pick?
Oh, no. No way.
The person who is more long-term making that decision. So
yeah. I think Jay's input is very limited at this point.
Yeah. As it should be for a coach who's had a pretty tenuous grasp on his job right now. I mean, he's got 2 years left on, you know, this extension is just starting. But, you know, if things don't go well this year, there could be a change. So yeah, I think, you know, you look at the way pro sports are structured, you know, coaches are looking at the next game. The general manager and the president are supposed to be looking at 3 and 4 years down the road. So, you know, in a healthy organization, that's how that works. I'm not so sure that's how it works out at Redskins Park, but I'm not sure. So sure that Jay Gruden is going to be making the ultimate decision on what they do at number 15.
All right. Thank you, Tark. Appreciate it, buddy.
Anytime, guys.
All right, Tark El-Bashir.
We talk Caps with Tark, presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable business grows with PVI, with office furniture solutions for every budget. Visit PVIPVI.com today.
That's right. Tark still seemed pretty confident. Looking for that panic button.
Oh, I think he's getting pretty close to panicking.
He's starting to search for it.
Yeah, I think he's getting pretty close.
I'm like kind of reading through the quotes in some of the articles, and Ovi's saying they need a sense of urgency. Tom Wilson pretty casual about it.
I thought he was pretty casual last night in the interviews, yeah.
He's like, you never want it to be smooth sailing, because then when something does happen down the road, you don't know how the group is going to react. We've got to figure out how to react right now.
He likes adversity, apparently.
It was a good game for the most part. That being said, it's playoffs and ups and downs and how you manage them. Pretty casual.
Look, sweep.
Like, see some urgency.
Sweeps are unrealistic, but I would have been happy with the Caps in five. The going to six or seven.
You can get it in six.
It's stressful. It's just stressful.
Hey, Cakes, embrace your fighting spirit with handcrafted gin and whiskey by KO Distilling. KO's bare knuckle cast strength rye whiskey was just awarded double gold medal at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition. Try some for yourself at the distillery tasting room in Manassas or at your favorite bar or restaurant. And don't miss KO's first annual Derby Day celebration, Saturday, May 4th, featuring mint juleps, whiskey flights, Virginia wines, food trucks, games, a hat competition, and more. Get the details at KODistilling.com. And as always, drink KO responsibly. All right, we've been telling you now for a little over a week, every show, the rest of the summer, courtesy of PenFed Credit Union, we're taking you out to the ball game, hooking you up with tickets to see your Washington Nationals take on. Today, we're going to hook you up with tickets to see the Nationals take on San Diego. That's coming up April 27th. And we'll just do the 10th caller game right now at 800-636-1067. You get those tickets, 1067 The Fan, PenFed Credit Union, taking you out to the ball game all season long, as I mentioned. Courtesy of PenFed Credit Union, details at thefandc.com/contest. So you can call in now at 800-636-1067. Nationals now 9-8. Nice win yesterday. Patrick Corbin has pitched really, really well.
It's been a really good
finally
addition.
Got a win.
He had a no-hitter through five innings, I think, right? Or heading into the fifth inning.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just nice that he finally got a dub. I know some analytics people think wins don't mean anything.
No, wins are cool. Definitely if you're a pitcher, you want the dub.
He's been in position to get wins. I mean, you look at what he's done. He's got an ERA at 2.36. For your number three starter, that's fantastic. So he's off to a great start. We had him on the show when we were down in spring training. And the thing about Corbin, and look, the organization, they had faith that he was a guy deserving of that mega contract, is that he got that mega contract, but it's not like he had put together, you know, five straight great years. Mm-hmm. He's had his moments. He was an all-star kind of early in his career. Then he had injuries, and then he kind of was scuffling around there for a while. He was in the bullpen for a while, and then last year had a good year, and then gets that big contract.
Nine punchouts yesterday, too. You like to see that.
The good news is, so they win the series. They win two of their last three series. They did lose the series to Pittsburgh.
Won five of their last eight.
Won five of their last eight. They're only a game and a half back of Philly.
Now they get the Marlins.
And the Marlins lay in the weeds.
The Marlins got to win. Do they have three games there or four? I think it's three. You got to win at least minimum two of
the Marlins
three.
Are 4-15.
They're awful.
I thought I read this morning they haven't scored a run since like Monday. I mean, you know, so I mean, you want to talk about teeing one
That's
up
almost
for
as long as my no dinner streak,
right.
Which is not intentional. I haven't had a dinner since Sunday.
You still have the bloated.
A lot of stomach issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have three games at Miami. Sanchez on the bump tonight, followed by Thursday tomorrow, and then Strasburg.
Right.
That's, I'm sorry, anything less than two wins there, disappointment
they,
for the Nats.
They got to get two
that
wins.
That should be a sweep.
They should.
They should sweep that three-game series.
They should. They're getting, listen, a lot of things are trending in the right direction for them. I mean, they're getting overall really, really good starting pitching. I mean, the one that's kind of struggling right now is Stras, and you figure he'll figure that out. And then, you know, the lineup is doing pretty darn well, all things considered, especially with no Trey Turner in there. So, and then you got guys that are still going to heat up, right? I mean, because Zim is still is hitting under 200.
Dozier
hasn't heated up yet. So there's some room to grow there. So I like the direction they're trending. Just got to get that bullpen shored up, and they'll be off and running.
By the way, yesterday El Zol 107.9 did an interview with Robles.
Right.
And Suero.
Right.
And I actually watched it. It was in Spanish. And Drab walked
by. I think
by.
Adam was
Drab,
there, right?
What did you think of the guys? Did you take a peek? Dreamy guys? They were like dancing and everything.
Were they dreamy?
Yeah.
Juan Soto?
Yeah.
He's not into Juan Soto.
I mean, he's ripped.
Yeah.
They're like boys, though. I mean, they're up close, they look so young.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what's Soto, 22?
His name was Adam Soto, he'd be into him.
Was he there's younger than that?
No, 21 or 22.
There's a rumor. It's just
I know. I think Soto can't like buy 20. A beer yet. Yeah. I think he's like 20.
I think Soto might be right. Robles
yeah.
is 21.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
a rumor. Now, it's just from
he's 20.
One tweeter. Somebody tweeted me, at GlassJoeJP, and said Soto is a big fan of the Junks. And I was like,
that's not possible.
Impossible.
I don't think he speaks English. I know that's not
There's
possible.
0% chance.
No chance. Yeah. That's true. I said, well, that's why do you possible. Say that? And he shot back. We go to the same gym in Arlington. Very cool dude. Down to earth. He likes Pamplona. I'm surprised A-Wan hasn't seen him there.
This sounds like a setup. First of all, why would said, Juan Soto go to said, this dog's gym?
Well, I mean, guys go to gyms.
Then they work out at the
You are fake news. The facility.
You are fake
news. You know what? I'm calling shenanigans.
It's a great call, Kate.
Right now.
I understand
it's
that
a great call.
Season,
a guy like Juan Soto.
It's during the season.
Doesn't just go to random
not during
gyms.
The season, but.
Shenanigans.
I don't think he speaks a lick of English. Weren't you there, Adam? Does he speak any English?
I filmed the whole thing. None of them speak any English. I thought it was so cool, though, that they almost finish each other's sentences in Spanish, though. They are so close as teammates.
Right. Well, that's cool. But they're not Junks listeners.
I mean, first of all, let me just say this.
You don't listen to the Junks like some of the clubhouse guys.
Hold up. Awad, do you speak Spanish?
I mean, I passed Spanish 1 and 2.
The answer would be no.
He barely speaks English.
You don't speak Spanish. So you're guessing that they complete each other's sentences.
No. They were. I did the whole video. They were answering at the same time.
Because they were asked trivia questions. They weren't like... If completing each other's sentences,
I know
understand.
They don't know who Ovi is. I gleaned that nugget.
They didn't know who Ovi was.
They don't know Ovi, but they're big Junks fans.
Yeah, but let's be honest.
No chance.
I didn't say they. It just said one random tweeter said that Juan Soto is a fan of the Junks.
How much have they been exposed to ice hockey growing up in the Dominican? I mean, it makes sense.
Right. Can you ask
I think Soto knew John Wall.
He did. Ask Adam something in Spanish. See if he can... interpret, like, just say a sentence in Spanish, and let's see.
¿Cómo te llamas?
That is, what's your name?
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's pretty elementary, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I was understanding 1/8 of what they were saying, but what was really cool to me was they were, like, answering at the exact same time with each other, like, rhythmic.
They were asked trivia questions, and they were supposed to jump in to get, like, points.
Is this a sentence? How do you say what? K?
I mean, yeah, it depends. Sure.
K color los pantalones.
What color's your underwear?
No, it's pants. Pants is stupid.
He said 1/8, so he did.
Yeah. What are zapatos?
Shoes.
Camisa.
Some type of food.
No.
Shirt,
dummy. I'm bringing back my old Spanish one.
You're thinking of comida. So you think no chance.
No chance.
0% chance.
Actually, you need a dunce cap for even suggesting. There's a rumor out there.
he doesn't speak English. If you don't speak English, it's impossible for you to enjoy
unless
it.
Unless
those guys, their lifestyle is...
I don't know that he doesn't speak English. might speak a little English. And I'm sure he listens and watches TV to pick up English. He's 20. He's new to the country. I'm sure he speaks a little English.
If radio.com translates our show into Spanish, maybe.
Yeah. No, those guys aren't even up this time of the day.
Yeah.
They're not even up.
And he's not going to that dog's gym and racking them.
He barely knew who the Washington Capitals were,
right.
Let alone listening to a sports radio station.
Right.
Hey, anytime you get an opportunity to pat yourself on the back and think maybe, but that one's fake news.
No.
Sometimes you got to learn. You know the best way to learn Spanish? News. My mom always says it. It's true. Is just you put on a show.
Watch TV.
Watch it.
You put on a
what is it called?
Telemundo.
If I watch Telemundo,
yeah,
for
I guess you would pick up Spanish.
You think I would learn a lot of Spanish?
Sure.
I think I'm
That'd
too
be
old.
Tough.
I think your brain.
It would be tough.
Yeah.
But how do you think these guys learn English? They learn English from the other guys on the team.
Yep, of course, but years and years of being in the minors. It's like 5-6 years.
The time to start learning a language is when you're a youngin', when you're like 5 years old, not when you're almost 50. It's not time for us to start learning
that part
Spanish or French.
That part of your brain is
Mandarin. I've been learning Mandarin.
No, you're not. That part of your brain.
Chris Wilson learned. He learned four languages in prison
20 years ago.
Yeah, because he had a lot of time on his hands.
He had all day.
No, I have a lot of time on my hands, but not as much as that dog had.
You do have a lot of time.
I do have a lot of time. But he had more.
You sit at a poker table for 10 hours doing nothing.
Yeah, I could.
$20.
I could technically learn a language there, but I don't.
You could get, what is it called? Rosetta Stone?
You know what? Yeah, I could. You know what? I choose not to better myself.
Okay? I feel like you haven't played poker in a while. I feel like you haven't been.
I need to get out to MGM National Harbor, I think next week.
The Cakes Classic?
No, the Cakes Classic, always the first Wednesday of every month.
Oh, okay.
But next week...
You got to pick up your bullet.
Got to pick up my monthly bullet / stipend. I mean, I am the poker ambassador, E.D.
Right.
I mean, it does have its perks.
Right. I like it.
Yeah.
I brought this up yesterday during a break, and it's funny because Drab put it in our notebook today. I had just checked out Tim Tebow's stats yesterday, and I mentioned it to E.B. It wasn't on air. But I might as well bring it on air because we have kind of the updated numbers. Tim Tebow in the minor leagues, the reason why you're not hearing anything is because he's not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
He is 6-37 through his first 11 games. And he struck out 15 times. Ooh. 2 doubles, 3 walks.
So what's he hitting, about $150?
5 RBIs. I don't even think it's that. What's 6-37?
I mean, Ryan Zimmerman's hitting under 200. Come on, give him some time.
Yeah, there's plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
You can turn it around. I just saw highlights from the Orioles. Chris Davis had a silly hit in the 11th inning last night.
What's Davis up to? Has he cracked 100?
Oh, I doubt it. Yeah, you got Tebow hitting 162.
162, that's fine.
Yeah, he goes 3-3. He's on a tear.
Tebow's going to, look, my guess is for the year, my guess is he'll hit about 220, 230.
Chris Davis batting 109.
109, yeah, he's over 100.
He's over 100.
He was at zero before, Kicks.
He was at zero. That's a big leap for him.
Right. Making progress.
Just interesting to note, I do pull for him. I don't know why.
For Tebow?
Yeah, because he's chasing his dreams, not afraid to be embarrassed. Not that many people will put themselves out there like that.
I always thought, though, I would have liked him to have switched over to tight end or something.
He didn't want
to
do that.
Yeah.
Didn't want to do it. You can't make a guy do what he doesn't want to do.
I know you guys had Trace McSorley on one of the days
that
I missed.
He didn't really want to do that either.
Not Seist.
No. Plus, he's got all the guys. He said all the teams that he talked to, they're interested in him as a quarterback.
Right.
So, that's somebody to root for. Good dude. We learned that Jason is known as Uncle Jason.
I didn't hear the interview.
Yeah, Uncle Jason to him. He's known him his whole life.
I knew they were friends. I didn't realize it was that they were that tight.
Well, Jason went to college with his dad. So, yeah, he's known him his whole life. And now they're
good.
They've lived in the same neighborhood for years. Jason goes over there and poops in his bathroom, which is when he drives by the house.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty close friendship. Imagine just driving through only and saying, "I gotta go do something. I'm gonna go."
I got a wave. Let me go knock on Cakes' door.
I mean, I'd be salty if that happened. I mean, somebody just strictly wants to come in and dump in my bathroom.
That's kind of disrespectful. Let's go to Danny in Rockville in line two.
Buddy, just punch him up for me, just for 10 seconds. Danny, what's up, buddy? Danny,
hey guys.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I was listening to you guys about Soto, and Danny and Grant had him on their show, and he does speak English. And Grant really adores the guy. He thinks he's a great dude.
Well, who doesn't?
Just letting you know that.
Yeah. Who doesn't adore him?
No, I have idea. Opposing pitchers?
Yeah, I would guess, yeah.
All right, so maybe we stand corrected. Maybe he does speak a little English. But there's no way he listens to the Jones.
There's no way
it's
a P1.
Not possible.
No way.
I think it's possible.
And he's not working out at the Gold's Gym around the corner.
Of course he's not.
I think it's possible because I've met the guy who tweeted.
Yeah.
Right. But maybe he's full of my chain.
It's fake news.
Soto was spotting me, and he told me he loves the entertainment page.
Exactly.
You get your personal best up there, Valdez?
All right, coming up next, it's Fridays with Feinstein on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.